This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, if the marquee game clearly tonight and one of the bigger games across the ACC footprint this weekend is tonight in Charlottesville, 7 o'clock on ESPN2 with Wake Forest visiting Virginia. Deacons are undefeated. Cavaliers come in off the disappointing loss at Chapel Hill last Saturday night. And Pack, we're going to go four wide. You ready?
Do it.
Let's welcome Stan Cotton, the voice of the Deacons. Dave Kane, the voice of the Cavaliers. Look at us, Pack. We've gone four wide, Stan. We're racing right now on Packer.
Hey, you know what they say in North Carolina, man? Rubbin's racing. I love it. Let's go.
By the way, I'm just trying to figure out how to get on the screen, guys. I'm sitting here like, you know, I'm not used to these tight confines, but we'll see what we can do here.
Hey, can you tell who's at his lovely Charlottesville estate and who's in the hotel room?
Yes.
Have you picked up on that yet?
Yeah, we're good. Okay. We got that. Pack, I'd like to point out here, before we get too far down the road, both these gentlemen are married to lawyers. I'll let you ask the first question.
Actually, before we get into that, Stan, do you mind just, since Rubbin is racing, could you scratch my back a little bit? Because I got an itch back there. I think you're the only guy that can reach it.
Pack, what, man, something is always wrong with you. What is the deal?
I don't know. 21's been a terrible year. I have had
not been a good year.
No, it's from a physical standpoint, it has been a miserable year. So it can't end fast enough. However, before it ends, can we at least get the Wake Forest Virginia game in tonight? Because I do think this game, given the quarterbacks at play, what we saw last week in Charlottesville, which we'll get to Dave in a second, though, Stan, this game's got potential of being a thrill a moment. The Deacs have been off to a great start. Virginia's incredibly explosive. This could be a really, really entertaining game tonight.
Really could. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, but I've never done a track meet. However, I have seen the Blue Angels live when former Tennessee running back Kurt Watson was the lead pilot. So we may see something like that tonight. I think it's going to be, you know, with Armstrong and Sam Hartman, I know you guys like Sam as well, throwing it all over the lot tonight, the defenses tonight. I'm not sure if any of the defensive coaches got any sleep this week getting ready for the other one. So, Pack, I agree. I think this really could be a whole lot of fun, especially if you don't give a rip who wins the game. It could be a lot of fun to watch. I know Dave's going to have a lot of fun calling it. I will too. And this is one of those early league games that for Wake Forest certainly could be very, very important, trying to get to 4-0, 2-0 in the league before going back home next week. So we'll see how it shakes out tonight, but we're ready to go and we'll see.
Dave, I guess the question is, how has Virginia processed last Saturday night into any kind of positive moving forward?
Well, we're going to find out. It's going to be tonight. I mean, like Stan just says, you know, he'd never called a track meet. I have, and it was a week ago. And I'm telling you, every time, I don't know what it is about Virginia versus Carolina, but defenses just dissolve. So we'll see if that plays out here tonight. We'll probably watch a 10-7 game the way things go. You know, every time you think you know what's happening. But yeah, I mean, look, this is the kind of game where you got to bounce back. In a lot of ways, Virginia finds itself in the same spot Carolina was a week ago, where UNC sitting here saying, we can't afford to lose another one. They dropped one on the road to start things off at Virginia Tech. And if you want to win the Coastal Division, you really can't afford to lose another one. So Virginia now finds itself in that same spot 1 week later here against Wake Forest playing it at home. And if you want to win the Coastal Division, you better win this game. So, you know, a lot riding on this game for Virginia, even if it isn't a Coastal Division opponent coming in. And, how do you respond? I don't know, man. I'll tell you, I left that game scratching my head a little bit, watching those offensive numbers that Sam Howell put up. I mean, it seemed like anyone he wanted to throw to, and he wanted to hand off to, it just worked. So I think you're going to see an angry Virginia defense, at least that's my hope, one that's got a little bit of a chip on its shoulder trying to prove it was not the norm what we saw last week.
Dave, I'll follow up with you. You know, we just got done watching Louisville play three games in 12 days. This is a tough stretch for the Hoos. I mean, not only did you have the showdown game last week in Chapel Hill, short week, you get ready for a red-hot Wake Forest team, and then lo and behold, next Thursday, another road trip against a Miami team that's going to be beyond desperate to kind of jump into the ACC fray. It kind of feels like, hey, it's now is the time for Virginia, right? Failed last week's test. Big one tonight and a really big test on the road at Miami next Thursday.
Yeah, it's a couple teams that Virginia hasn't had a ton of success against lately either, particularly in Miami. Virginia's really struggled. But while Virginia and Wake don't play very often, Virginia's lost the last four straight to Wake. You know, they haven't beaten them since 2007. So since I've been here, for that matter, it's odd that these teams don't play more frequently than that anymore. But yeah, so, you know, as much as you love to say everybody loves the Swiss, tonight Virginia's got to find a way to hate the Swiss and come after those Deeks. And everybody loves Stan, too. You know, I love this. It's like, how can you not like the Deeks except tonight? What do you think, Stan?
I can't go with any more of that. Everybody loves the Swiss except tonight, Pac.
You know what? Even so, let me just say one thing. The reason I call Wake Forest the Swiss, even tonight, there will be Virginia fans in the stands going, you know what? How do you not like Wake? Seriously, how do you not like the Swiss? I mean, that's why Wake Forest, that's why they're the Swiss. There's nobody else in the league. Nobody else in the league gets that deal like Wake Forest does. Oh. Nobody. Nobody.
Deeks, the Deeks will take it. The Deeks will take it. It's an honor to be the voice of the Swiss.
Right.
And we'll just ride this out, Pack, and see, see where it gets us here in 2021.
Stan, I got to tell you, too, when he came up with that term, we'd been talking about that previously, too. And I got to tell you, if there's a broadcaster in this league, too, that fits the bill, everybody loves Stan, too. So, I mean, like, it is the perfect ambassador to the Swiss that Stan Cotton is the voice of the Swiss.
Stop.
This is awesome.
How am I supposed to respond to that? I mean, I like to be liked. Who doesn't want to be liked?
No, Stan, here's how you respond.
Right?
Thank you very much. That's how you respond.
I appreciate that, Dave. Yeah. All right. Again, man, we'll take it.
Right.
All right. I want to go other side. We talked so much about offense on this, and you guys said it earlier. We're expecting this shootout. We're expecting this track meet, and all of a sudden we may get down to rock'em sock'em football tonight. So each of you, give me a defensive player that could shine tonight. Maybe the most important defensive player to prevent it from being the shootout. Stan?
Well, wow. You know what? That's really a difficult question for Wake because, Boogie Basham is gone, and he was kind of the bell cow last year. He was the guy that really would come up and make a play when Wake needed it. He's off to the National Football League. But Wake's depth is so much better now that it could be anybody. Now, a Virginia native, Nick Anderson, who came on, made such a big splash last year, finally, after some injury, is back in the depth chart tonight. And, you know, he had three picks last season in a game against Virginia Tech. Maybe it's Nick Anderson, who hasn't played much. Maybe he just becomes Nick Anderson again tonight and really throws something out there crazy, comes up with a turnover. Wake Forest had six takeaways last week against Florida State, three picks and three fumble recoveries. Maybe it's Nick Anderson. I don't know. Pick anybody with this Wake team because it's been, you know, seemingly a different player every single week. And that's, you know, I know you guys like Dave Clawson and the job he's done in Winston. Mark talks about it a lot. But what they've really done is built a lot of quality depth. And we were talking earlier to the defensive coaches. They say, look, get out your depth chart tonight because we are going to play a lot of people against Virginia and see if that helps us.
DK?
Yeah, it's funny. When Stan and I were talking yesterday, I was taping something with him for our show, and he was going down this list of how Dave Clawson has built that team and how he's gone about it. And I felt like I could have been answering the question the exact same way with Virginia and Bronco Mendenhall. Both of these guys are very similar in the way they've built these teams with interchangeable, you know, pieces in a lot of ways. And this complementary football, one guy leads to the other, one unit leads to the other. And the same thing for Virginia. They don't necessarily have that one standout that you're going to say he's the game changer. But I will tell you this. I think for Virginia, on the defensive line, I think that's going to be a critical part of this thing. And I think Virginia really missed a deep Atariwa last week on that edge trying to slow down Carolina's run game. I'm hopeful he'll be back. We'll see. But I think someone on that edge is going to have to find a way to get push. I think that is when you go against this mesh, you've got to find a way to disrupt it and get in there and keep them from being able to stall out and hand these delayed handoffs or passes, whatever it is. But then, of course, you know, like Stan was saying, I think for Virginia, it does come down to everybody playing that disciplined brand of football where you just can't bite. And so, you know, to me, I will be interested to see if Adib Batariwa plays in this game. So that's going to be something to watch for. You know, on the other side of things, Mandy Alonso, he had a rough week last week, I think, too, as did everyone on that defense. So a lot of these guys have something to prove this week. And I think getting some push up front, whether it's from the line, the linebackers, whatever it is going to be important.
Dave, has the home field advantage and the woes on the road, has that reached the stage of being a mental block at Virginia? Because you guys are great at home, and on the road, it's like, I don't even recognize these guys sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, and I asked Bronco this question. I said, what's the difference on the road? What do you see as the difference on the road? And he said, you know, right now there's so much parity in the game. There is so much little margin for error. And that little difference has proven to be the difference in these games for us. When we're at home, we ride that little difference to victory. And when we're on the road, it's put us behind. So, you know, I mean, it's a hard one to answer. I don't know if it's become a mental block yet. I'm sure it's on their mind. I know they want to try to turn that around. But obviously tonight you've got the home field, and that's been the recipe for success for these guys. So, you know, I that's a good question, though. I mean, is it in their heads? Tough to say. I think they ran into a pretty good football team last week, and I think they battled back. You know, they were down 24-7, and I don't think they were scared off by Carolina. They took the lead into halftime. But, you know, what's the cause of it? I don't know. It's the million-dollar question.
You know, it also feels like, too, for both these schools, it feels like while this is a really big 60 minutes of football, this one's going to have a little staying power to how the rest of the season goes. Now, Dave, you mentioned this a moment ago. Virginia's in the same scenario Carolina is. You don't want to get your second conference loss, right? You just don't want to go there because you don't – I mean, although it is the Coastal, anything could happen. Stan, meanwhile, Wake Forest would be really happy with a win tonight because then they could wait to see how NC State Clemson plays out to figure out, you know, who the next hurdle's going to be. So for that reason alone, it feels like that this game's not only big tonight, it's big long-term for both schools, I guess.
Yeah, I agree, Wes. And, you know, before this week, right, it was the Florida State game. And I watch you guys all the time, and you guys were talking, as everybody was talking, if the Deacs can get past Florida State and get to 3-0, then it really gets interesting because Wake's schedule on the backside is so tough. Three out of the last four or on the road. One of those is against Clemson. You know, Boston College is an improving team. But if the Deacs can somehow find a way to get to 4-0 tonight, then going back home against Pac's team of mystery next week, you know, I love Pac. Now, talk about everybody loves Mark.
But, sure they do.
But
everybody does not love Mark.
Right. If you go on Twitter,
not even my family.
But if Wake can get to 4-0, and I said this earlier, I mean, look, you're approaching the halfway mark, and you hadn't lost a game. You get some hay in the barn, and then it becomes interesting because you got some more winnable games. Some really good teams you play are in Winston-Salem. And if you can get that done, then who knows? I mean, it's tough to talk about this around Dave Clawson. I mean, he's the quintessential. We can't look ahead, all that type of stuff. But it's fun for us to do that. And without question, this could be, if the Deacs find a way to get out of Charlottesville with a win, could be really, really large for the Deacs.
I have one question.
Guys, I'm calling Coach Clawson. I'm telling him that Stan's looking ahead. You guys have his number?
Please do. Please do that.
I have one question in closing here, just for future consideration. And, Stan, I'll start with you. Dave, this will give you a head start. How much does your spouse charge per hour?
Too much. For you guys.
Hey, wait a minute. We got big budgets over here in the Packer household.
With the big money you guys have now with, the whole lighting display the last couple of days has been just off the charts. So
let me tell you,
y'all have broken the budget.
You don't even know the half. You don't even know the half of what
I
got up my sleeve.
I'm sure I don't. I know.
All right, David, same question for you. Do you know how much your wife charges per hour as an attorney?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, enough to support this knucklehead's broadcasting habit. I mean, you know, it's...
bingo.
It's more than I can afford, I'll tell you that much.
Well, both of you, I know without even meeting them that both of you have outkicked your coverage, so that already is a win. It's already a win before you get to the weekend.
Hey, Pat, one quick thing here. We got to check now. Full disclosure here. Cotton and I have known each other since 1984 when Elon and Mighty Carson Newman used to play in the old SAC 8. So I got to ask this question. How are we doing on our countdown there, Grandpa-to-be?
Well, we're kind of on pause. It really got ratcheted up yesterday, and we were all excited, but things are on pause. But next few days, it's going to happen, and then all bets are off, man. When the grandkid gets here, the first one, all bets are off. I'm going to turn into a sloppy, crybaby, softy of a guy. So,
well, we welcome.
I mean, I cried half the way up here.
I don't have any grandkids, but we'll welcome you to the club. Just say that right now.
Sloppy.
You're already there, Pat. Is that the deal?
I'm there.
You're already there.
Sloppy. We got space for you down here in the basement. Come on.
Hey, good.
Let me just tell you this, Stan. You're talking to a guy that almost died changing boats floating in the Turks and Caicos.
True.
And then got the COVID variant.
It's not been a good year. I get that for Pack, but we're about to get through it. Pack, if I come to the basement, I'll bring some Krispy Kremes, and we'll talk through. We'll slop our way through it. How about that?
There you go.
That sounds good. And I'll just say one thing. If you go to Krispy Kreme, you can get that one, get another dozen free. The dogs like just the regular Krispy Kreme. No jelly-filled. The hounds like it.
Gotcha.
Unbelievable.
Straight. Like them straight.
That's it.
All right, boys. You guys have a great show tonight. Thank you all very much. Appreciate you doing this.
Enjoyed it.
You bet.
See you guys.
Always fun.
Stan Cotton, voice of the Deacons, Dave Kane, longtime voice now, the Virginia Cavaliers, joining us here on Packer and Durham. When we come back, well, you know how this works. Over and under, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Macri joins us live from ACCN HQ with this week's edition when the Football Friday of Packer and Durham continues in a moment.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
You know, I was just thinking, for future legal services, it's good to know we've got two voices in the ACC that are married to lawyers.
Oh, bless.
Yeah. Just saying. It's always good to know.
It's good news. Yeah. Have you figured out if one of them's in libel yet? Is that what you're thinking? Liability may have to...
As you well know, I from time to time have to deal with people that want to get cute with my stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something I'm proud of, but you know, when you own a trademark, you own it. It's up to you to enforce it. And sometimes you have to get a really good attorney and just put the riot act on people. So it happens.
There you go.
Just saying.
All right. Off to Bristol we go on a Football Friday. Standing by, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of multiple victories. There he is. Two looking for three tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Macri.
Hello.
What are you, Earnhardt? What are you doing there, huh? What's going on there? You giving me the three? All
right. Jerry McNamara.
There you go.
Jerry McNamara. Okay, there we go.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
From a Syracuse guy, that makes more sense. You probably wouldn't have understand that NASCAR reference anyhow, but that's okay.
I am from Maine. There are some NASCAR fans in Maine.
Is that plural? Did you say fans? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. True.
All right. True. All right, let's do it.
Well, yeah, it's still a little over-under here. We got Kelsey Riggs coming up in a few minutes, so we'll see how many of these questions we can get through here. First one has to do with DJ Uiagalelei. Through three games, only one touchdown pass so far this season, but against the Wolfpack, over-under, a touchdown and a half for DJU.
Under. Under.
Wow. Hmm. Yeah, I'll go under 1.5. I'll go with Pack on that one, Josh. Man, you wonder about this game tomorrow. You just get the feeling this is going to be sub 20 both ways.
Could be.
You just get the feeling. Golly. Hard to think of it like that, but it might be.
You know, we say that, and we're going to come back here at 35-31.
48. That's exactly right.
Happens all the time. happens all the time. All right, what's the next one?
Next one, Boston College against Missouri. Mizzou has given up 269.3 yards per game rushing this season. Rushing. That's fifth worst in all of FBS. Mm-hmm. Boston College, meanwhile, rushing for 206 yards this season, 30th in FBS. Over under 250 for the Eagles against the Tigers tomorrow.
It will have to be over for a W.
Yep. I'm going Dennis Grossell throws it about 20 times, but Patrick Garwo, David Levy, Alex Sinkfield run it the rest of the way. I think that's the way, and you'll get some jet sweeps in there too, but I'm beginning to believe that's the way this is going to manifest itself tomorrow. I think Boston College runs to win tomorrow.
I would agree with that. Next one, please.
Over.
Next one, road wins in conference games. Over under 2.5 of them for the road teams in conference matchups this weekend. We have Wake and Virginia, who we just talked about with Stan and Dave. Clemson and NC State, of course. Louisville is at Doak. Carolina at Mercedes-Benz. They count as a road team.
Oh, boy, that's hard. Sound like Justin Fuente. All right, I'm going to roll the dice here. Over. I'm going to David Cutcliffe.
I'm going under. I think it's 2-2. Out of the four, I think it's 2-2.
Yeah, I think it is two, but I'm going to David Cutcliffe, double snake eyes, roll the dice. We haven't done that all week. Let's do it. I'm going to go over on that
Okay.
one.
So you're essentially saying, I think I'm wrong going into this question.
Yes, because I think two is the right answer, but I'm going to go against the trend and just think that somebody's...
It's classic West to say the answer is this, but I'm going with this.
I'm going this, right.
That's right.
The answer is this, but I'm going this. Yeah, that's right. You got it now, Josh. Almost 500 shows. You've got it figured out.
I'm getting the hang of it finally. It took me long enough.
Yeah. Bark or bite.
That's it.
Yeah, you still haven't figured that one out yet. Kenny Pickett had 6 touchdown tosses a week ago. Over under 5.5 of them this weekend against the Wildcats of New Hampshire.
Under.
Well, that was quick. Yeah. I'm going to go under too.
Yeah, there's.
I think they'll run it. I think they'll try and run tomorrow. I think.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh needs to polish the run game.
Yep.
I'm not sure what the Wildcats of New Hampshire have up front. Really doesn't matter. Pitt needs to run the ball and have some continuity doing so tomorrow.
Exactly right. You know this unlike Western Michigan last week, where hey, you're playing from behind seemingly all day, and you had to toss it, and you could. I don't think that's going to be necessary. At least I hope it's not tomorrow for the Panthers.
Would you make the same claim if Chip Kelly was still the head coach at UNH?
He's not, and so I'm not going to have to worry about it.
And by the way, Josh, if Ryan Day were quarterbacking New Hampshire tomorrow, which he did when Chip Kelly was coaching, we still wouldn't make that same mistake.
Fair enough. One more here. UVA. Almost unbeatable at Scott Stadium. They're 19-2 there since 2018. However, over under a loss and a half at Scott for UVA this season.
Under. Under.
Virginia Tech game's there, right?
I understand that. Still going under.
I'm going to go over.
Ooh.
I'm going to go over.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, there we go.
Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, yeah, could be a challenge.
Yeah, there we go. So I'm going over, not let alone tonight. Tonight will not be easy, I don't think. I just don't see that game getting sideways. I think that's a really good game tonight.
No, one thing, that's a good home schedule.
Yeah, it is. Holy cow. Right?
If you're a Wahoo really fan, you get your tickets and get on out there, boys and girls.
Dude, you got
some good games.
What now? You got the College of William and Mary, you got Illinois, and you got those 5 games. That's a nice home schedule
for
Carla Williams and Bronco Mendenhall.
No doubt.
All right, great stuff, Josh. Well done.
We got a bonus for you.
Oh, we got bonus?
Yeah, you guys always give me a hard time for saying, hey, you know, we cut one short this week. Can we have one more?
Hey, can we have one more?
We can have one more.
All right.
We can have a bonus. All right. But wait, there's more. You guys have been making fun of the state of Connecticut and their football teams. Well, Central Connecticut goes to Miami, goes to Hard Rock this weekend. Over under 45,000 fans at Hard Rock for the game against Central Connecticut. 46,427 there were against Sparty. 45,877 there against App State. Capacity at Hard Rock, 64,767.
I don't know what they'll announce, but the actual butt-in-seat count will be much lower. Under.
I'm going way under that.
Plus, Sparty brought a lot of folks, man. If you watch that game,
Sparty
there was
liked to travel.
Hey, Michigan State folks, hey, up in Michigan, let's go down and see Miami for a long weekend. They are in. The folks in Connecticut, you know, come on. I don't think so. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to use a line from my fellow Syracuse alum, Adam Terry, and say there will be somewhere between 20,000 and 50,000 fans there.
That is, you know what?
I mean, you want to talk about going out on a limb. The Orange Men, Adam and I, we go out on a limb. We narrow down the number.
That is Cuse on Cuse crime is what that was right there.
That's Cuse on Cuse crime right there.
Adam made his debut, and I don't need a Syracuse guy taking another Syracuse guy to the woodshed on his first show.
I wasn't taking him to the woodshed. Yeah, he said there would be between 20,000 and 50,000 at the Dome tonight.
Let me tell you this. Big talker from the studio, right, Pac?
Yeah.
Big talker in the studio, the Macri.
6 foot eight comes walking in there. Straighten you out.
I'll tell you what happens if Adam Terry comes walking in. Yeah.
Hey, listen.
We go live from the Dome. You'll be live on the roof.
Treat you like New Hampshire tomorrow is what he'd do.
That's exactly.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
All right. No more bonus questions.
Yeah, bad idea.
No, that was a good one. Can't wait for the results. We'll get the returns on that one on Monday, by the way. All right. When we come back, Friday 9:30, Kelsey Riggs, do you know where your car is in Atlanta? Among other items to be discussed. But Kelsey, when we continue after this, Packer and Durham's Football Friday on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. You know, the new James Bond movie is coming out in a couple weeks, and I've been waiting for it for about, 18 months. And speaking of living on the edge, our next guest joins us from Atlanta, where she is
right
just
there on Peachtree Street.
Just high
right there on
flying.
Peachtree Street.
Literally.
Look at that.
Look at this.
Literally on Peachtree Street, right there. Yeah. Look at here.
Look
at
that.
I thought for
What's
a second.
Up? Talk about a bell ringer. I made it.
Yeah, I was thinking that we're going to go live from the cab, is what I thought we were going to do there.
That
live
wasn't a cab. Hey, wait. That wasn't a cab she was in. That was a car service. Because when you move up to the primetime show, you get car service, Packer.
Yep. Well, I got an Uber and I barely got one. So, Wes, I need some suggestions on how to get that kind of car service. But I made it, you guys. I'm here. It's beautiful here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy that I made it and that I'm not in the car, although Kevin was a fantastic Uber driver and was very nice.
So we give him 5 stars, Kevin, the Uber driver, get 5 stars there?
Yeah. I didn't have time yet because I got onto the FaceTime before I could rate him, but I'll definitely go give him 5 stars after we finish this.
Right.
Nothing like a hit literally on the road.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what I keep hearing. Don't know a whole lot about that hit on the road thing. I just kind of hang out here in the basement the whole time. Live vicariously through all you high rollers. It's kind of how it works.
Oh,
all right,
man.
So you go to Mercedes-Benz tomorrow night. You go to the big ballpark downtown, Carolina and Georgia Tech. You were standing there last Saturday night on the sideline in Chapel Hill, and you watched a track meet. Meanwhile, Georgia Tech was muddy in the water against Clemson. So what gives, Kelsey, after talking to Mack Brown and the Tar Heels this week?
They're excited. They're excited about what they did last week. And, you know, I think everybody was already, you know, knew what to expect from Sam Howell coming into this this year, but I think one of the big takeaways was Josh Downs. I mean, he's a star, and he's going to continue to be a star. We got to talk to him, and high praise from Mack Brown when he has coached for as long as he has and has coached as many talented players he has. And he says that Josh Downs is one of the most hardworking, dedicated, just all around good players, great athletes that he's ever been around. And so really excited to see his continued growth. And then the defense, you know, they know that last week was a shootout, and that, you know, credit to Brennan Armstrong. He's a phenomenal quarterback, but, you know, they did a good job stopping the run, but they weren't able to really stop what Brennan Armstrong was able to do. So I think they're looking forward to locking in a little bit more. And then you talk to Georgia Tech, and they say, look, we're ready to prove that this was not just a fluke, what happened last week against Clemson. You know, last time I had Georgia Tech, we were here in Atlanta, and it went down to the wire, and they ended up losing to Northern Illinois. And that looked like a completely different team than we saw playing last week against Clemson. So I'm excited, and I'm excited to see Mercedes-Benz. I've been here one time, and it was for a Super Bowl. So it's going to be a little bit different tomorrow, but I'm really, really excited to kind of soak in that atmosphere. The Georgia Tech fans are going to be out, and North Carolina fans are really big here too, so it should be a good one.
Kelsey, you know, Jordan Yates has done a really nice job given the Sims injury and everything else. I thought he played with a ton of poise last week, and you mentioned it, despite the loss, Georgia Tech's got to have a ton of confidence with the effort and the way they performed and executed a really great game plan from Jeff Collins. But old Jordan Yates is playing good football.
He really is, and you know, when he came in the game that we had them here, when Jeff Sims got hurt, we hadn't heard a whole lot about Jordan Yates. We had heard a lot about, you know, the quarterback room as a whole, and then Trad Beatty, and then bringing him in and what he had added. So we hadn't heard a whole lot about Jordan Yates. Obviously, since then we have, but he's a guy that's been in this program for a while and has been consistent in a time where, you know, people leave and change. He's been here and he's stuck it out, and now it's his chance, and he's been taking advantage of every opportunity that he's been given. And I think, you know, you see him play just not with a carefree attitude, but with the attitude of a guy that this has been my opportunity. So I'm going to go out and make the most of it, because it's not something that I necessarily knew was coming. You don't know how long it lasts. And so I think that's been really good for them and for him. And he makes some great decisions, and it doesn't hurt that he has a pretty phenomenal running back in Jahmyr Gibbs right beside him, doing crazy things here in the ACC too.
Well, that's the other part. Here's the thing about Jordan Yates. There's a Carolina tie to the whole deal tomorrow night, because his uncle is TJ Yates, who's now on staff with Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons. So there is an interesting tie to the Yates family tomorrow night with the ball game with Carolina. But Kelsey, I'm glad you mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs. And I had this discussion, Pack and I talked about this earlier in the week. Something tells me if Georgia Tech's going to beat North Carolina tomorrow night, they're going to have to do it by reducing Sam Howell's window of opportunity in terms of possessions.
Yeah, Wes, I would agree completely. I mean, we saw what Sam Howell was able to do last week against Virginia, and we've seen what he's been able to do in the air with his arm all along. And then you add into the mix how he's running the football. And it's something that he worked on this offseason. It's something that, you know, him and Phil Longo said, when we talked to Phil Longo, he said that's been an emphasis for the last couple of years in the offseason, is that Sam Howell and working on his run game. But again, this year, he says he just took really big steps with that to get better at it. His flexibility, his hip flexibility, his leg strength, the decisions that he's making. So Mack, when we asked him about it, said, look, you know, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to win. Every advantage that we have, we're going to take it. And so if that means running Sam Howell when he's successful, then we're going to do it. Now, do they need to do it if they go up big in a game? No, not necessarily. But, you know, it's something that they're not going to shy away from. And it's something that they put a lot of work into this offseason. So Sam is such a great player. He's so interesting to talk to. And when you talk to his teammates about him, the one thing that you just hear, A, is how even keeled he is. And then B, the amount of preparation he puts into everything. Before I moved up to Bristol to ACC Network, I stopped by all the schools in North Carolina just to say hi, because I was living in Charlotte at the time and I was getting ready to move really far away. And when I went there, I spoke with Jeremy Sharp. He's, you know, the SID there. And there in the corner was Sam Howell in a film room. And Jeremy said to me, That's where he always is. And that is all we've heard over the last 2 years. And Sam says, you know, he really leaned into to the offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, and learning about, okay, how to watch film and how does that help me and what am I looking for? And he's got teammates that come in and pick his brain as he's watching film as well. So I think it goes a long way when you just talk about the preparation that this team is putting into things. And then what they learned from week one. They said when they lost to Virginia Tech, that could either be what defined our season or that could be the turning point. That could be what changes our season for the better. And so far, they're on the right track to have that be a good lesson they learned.
Kelsey, quickly around the league, I think the two marquee conference games, one's tonight. Wake Forest at Virginia, and of course Clemson at NC State tomorrow. What's your initial reaction to both those games?
I'm really excited for Clemson at NC State. This just feels like kind of a different game than it has in the past, right? I feel like there's more emphasis this year. Everybody is putting on the quote-unquote rivalry or the bad blood or everything between Clemson. And NC State is a team that I think we all had high expectations for coming into this season. And Clemson is a team that is still trying to figure out what's not quite going right. So I'm really interested to see how DJ Uiagalelei looks. I mean, when we talked to him week two, when we had him after the South Carolina State game and before leading up to that game, he just said, you know, what happened in week one against Georgia is something that I don't want to happen again. And I've got to be better. And Will Shipley said, I've got to be better. I've got to take advantage of every opportunity I get, whether it's one, whether it's 10, whether it's blocking, whether it's catching the ball, whether it's running the ball. And we just haven't seen Clemson put that together quite yet. So I'm really interested in that Clemson NC State game tomorrow, you guys, and looking forward to seeing what happens there, because it's a big opportunity for NC State, and Clemson really needs to say, okay, we figured this out and everything's good, guys, calm down.
Kelsey, are you slightly interested to see what Virginia has in the tank after they obviously used a lot of fuel last Saturday night? I mean, I'm fascinated by Wake and Virginia tonight because of, and again, I'm playing to Packers' strength here. Here comes Wake. Everybody just kind of likes Wake, and you get to this point where, you know, Wake's there, and now here's Virginia after probably a letdown. How that game goes.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how that game goes. I was actually just talking to Kevin, the Uber driver, about this game tonight because he has a daughter that almost went to Wake Forest. And I was telling him it's going to be a really good game tonight between Virginia and Wake Forest. I mean, we saw what Brennan Armstrong and this offense was capable of. I was just telling him on this game in the car. So I'm glad you guys asked me about it. We saw what Brennan Armstrong and this offense are capable of last week. And I think Brennan Armstrong is still not getting enough attention that he rightfully deserves, not just with the ACC, but nationwide, what he's been able to do so far. And this is a really talented team, and what they do on defense is different. And so I'm really excited about Virginia. But Wake Forest is another team that year after year, Dave Clawson has those guys competing at a high level and reloading and getting back to a bowl game and being competitive. And somehow they seem to always be a team that is under the radar as well. So Sam Hartman is a guy that I got to see play when I was in Charlotte and cover him a little bit in high school, and have enjoyed following him since then. So you know, I think their offense could do some really good things too. But more than anything, like, last week was a tough loss for Virginia. I mean, that game was so good, so emotional early on in the first half. And then Carolina just came out in the second half and really changed the game. So I'm excited to see how Virginia responds after that, because I think they know how they have a big opportunity. And they know that they're really good at home, so they're not going to want to lose a home game because they're disappointed that they did not get that win on the road, which is something they've really focused on all offseason. So me and Kevin will definitely have our eyes on that game tonight.
All right. By the way, when you go into the hotel, very quickly, do you order apple juice or orange juice?
Pat, you know the answer to that. The answer is always orange juice. Here's the thing. We have a new question this year on In Play, and the question is, do you like breakfast for dinner? Yes or no? And
yes.
I said no. I'm not.
Yes.
No. Okay. I am 0-4 with our guest. EJ's got everybody on his side.
Go
I'm
away.
Sitting over there by myself.
Go away.
I don't like. Give me bacon all the time. Home. I don't need breakfast for dinner.
All right. You're in the home of Waffle House. So protect yourself.
Yeah.
I know.
Answer.
Jeff Collins. If you're watching, I'm very sorry.
There you go.
I do love the All-Star breakfast.
There you go. Have fun. All right.
Kelsey, thank you. Be well. Take care. Kelsey Riggs, literally live from downtown Atlanta, right there at the fabulous Hyatt on Peachtree Street. When we come back, the ACC announces a very, very important list of new award winners. And we give you the Bojangles Weekend Menu next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a busy, busy week of shows. Really busy. But good games tonight and tomorrow.
You betcha. And thanks to everybody who's joined us this week. Been another fun week of shows leading up to, as Mark said, a big Friday and Saturday of ACC football for you here on ACC Network. Very quickly, special announcement late yesterday morning from the Atlantic Coast Conference as the inaugural Unite Awards were presented. 48 honorees recognized across the 15 member institutions of the Atlantic Coast Conference. And the Unite Award is the good work and initiative of the ACC's Committee for Racial and Social Justice. And you see they're looking for individuals who best exemplify the Corps' mission to promote and encourage racial equity and social justice through education, partnerships, engagement, and advocacy, help create meaningful, lasting change, improving systems, organizational structures, policies, practices, and attitudes, pioneers and or people who help pave the way for minorities at either the institution or in the community. This year, the league celebrated individuals who were the first male and female athletes of color to integrate athletic teams at each of the ACC's member schools. So our congratulations to those 48 men and women that were honored yesterday as part of the inaugural Unite Award. Well done by the ACC, and looking forward to seeing the recipients as the years move forward. Time now for the Bojangles Weekend Menu, Mr. Packer.
Yes, sir. 10 minutes away. We're 10 minutes away.
Tonight, 8 o'clock. On ACC Network, Liberty at Syracuse, Drew Carter, Bobby Carpenter, Taylor Davis will be there. Then Saturday, triple header, Blacksburg, Durham, and Chapel Hill. Well, actually, it's Atlanta. That's North Carolina at Georgia Tech at 7:30 at Mercedes-Benz. So a triple header of football for you. Don't forget, New Hampshire at Pitt is on ACC NX, also at high noon tomorrow. And then Sunday, volleyball starts us at 1 o'clock with Sunday Best, followed by women's soccer, Pitt at Miami, and Duke at Virginia Tech. That's all on this week's Bojangles Weekend Menu. Two biscuits without butter coming up in about, let's see.
9 minutes. 10:05.
9 minutes. The countdown is on.
No butter for the dogs. They just like their biscuit
plain. The countdown
plain.
Is on.
That's exactly right. Bojangles. God bless them. Love them as a sponsor. All right. Love those biscuits.
Yep, we will see you Monday with another big football recap and look ahead to what should be an interesting week. We finally get towards the first full weekend of conference play. We jump almost into an exclusive conference game next week. Thanks to Josh Macri, Chrissy Velez, back row Hank, Matt, and everybody. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you Monday morning on Packer and Durham.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.